For you to be the very best podcaster, there's something that's foundational that happens first, which is to be the very best version of you possible. When you intend to flourish, when you intend to learn, when you're improving yourself, and you start that as a foundation, then you can look at the strategies.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with another episode of the podcast on podcasting. And today our guest is Dan Roshan. Dan, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hello, Adam. Thanks for having me today. I'm fantastic.
You better be. We had a couple mic issues, and we could always let our guest, our listener, know that we have mic issues because they are a podcaster and I don't want them to think they are the only ones dealing with that. It happens all the time, especially on Zoom, and I continue to use Zoom.
Typically when we're live in the middle of the greatest podcast we've ever done, that's when you have the problems.
Yeah, there you go. What do you use to record, Dan, for your podcast? It's called Consistent and Predictable.
Consistent, CPI. Predictable Income, the podcast, and we use Simplecast for the platform, and then the equipment is a Quad-X microphone and some Bose headset.
Cool. And for our listener, they don't need to go all the way to the Bose. You can do just fine with a $10, $20, $30 headset. You don't need to spend hundreds of dollars.
But I actually thought that the Bose was out of style. I thought it was like Dr. Dre Beats these days. I thought the Bose made me like an old man.
I'm all about Bose, which I hate that we keep mentioning it because I'm not an affiliate for them, but it's interesting.
You should be.
We used to have these giant speakers at my parents, and I mean, they were probably 3.5 feet tall, and like the subwoofer, I think it was like a 14 inch or 15 inch. They're pretty big, good speakers, and they had the three speakers in. And one day my dad thought he's going to switch it to this like Bose system. And I laughed because the speakers were just teeny tiny. And I'm like, what are you doing? You got rid of your old, like, really nice system for this. And he goes, oh, Adam, this is going to be much better. Just wait. And it was.
Adam.
It was so much more clear and probably at least 20% louder and just way clearer. So good stuff. But you said, tell me about your mic again, the mic that you're using.
What is it? HyperX Quad-X, I think is what it's called.
HyperX Quad-X.
I think it's really a gaming mic.
Okay.
I tried a couple different microphones, and this was the one that I found that hasn't broken on me yet. Though you would have thought that maybe, I thought about 10 minutes ago it did break on me, but seems like it's still working here.
It's working good. And then you said Squadcast. Can you tell us what you like about Squadcast? And for example, why don't you use Zoom like I use Zoom?
Oh, it's probably because we started doing this before the pandemic. And interestingly enough, for example, we use RingCentral as a video platform with one of my sales teams. And when I teach, I had to get Zoom because that's sort of like where all the cool kids went. And even though the technology is almost completely the same, RingCentral, they have a platform very much like Zoom where we can have a conversation with each other. Yet just people did not adopt it. And so to answer your question, I don't use Zoom only because just the way we set it up from the get-go. But if I was to set it up today, I would just do it on Zoom. And you don't need, even if AirPods, those are really effective. I mean, you want to have great audio. You definitely want to have great audio. It's something that's important. And I find that AirPods, if I'm on the road and I'm recording video or whatever the case may be, they pick up great. For me, I think better than a lapel mic. And I've tried all kinds of different things.
I don't suggest trying to use AirPods. Like,
not for an audio. Not for an audio.
The mic that I want is AirPods. But you mean for listening, for hearing, or for?
I'm talking if you're doing like a video, not a podcast. I wouldn't do that for a podcast at all.
Yeah, I do think that like when you're on the road, as long as you tell your audience, like, "Hey, I'm not recording on my normal mic today.
Yeah.
I've got my AirPods." I think you're probably going to be okay. But let's talk a little bit about what this episode is going to be. If you are like, for example, if you're getting into podcasting and you're a little worried about asking the right questions, connecting with your guest, Dan is going to help you to be able to understand how do we navigate this, especially if you're really shy and don't know if you can hold a conversation or engage in that conversation. And you know that you want to have a show, but something's holding you back. That's really what we're going to get out of today. And Dan Roshan is the head coach and the visionary at Greetings Virginia Sales Network. This company that he has is CPI. That's the podcast, Consistent Predictable Income. And the podcast is crushing it. So I'm stoked. And what we're talking about today, being able to be a better interviewer, I asked Dan, like, what percentage of your show are you doing interviews? And he's like, dude, it's every episode is an interview. And he's got tons and tons and tons out there. And didn't you just start like 10 months ago?
I think a little bit more than that. But yeah, we started not too long ago. I mean, it's relatively new. And candidly, I've been doing the content for the show for probably about 2.5 years. So maybe we launched a podcast about 10 months ago, but I had archived content that I had done on Facebook Live interviews. And then we just took the content of the interviews I already done and repurposed it, which allows for me to publish 2 every single week. And cool. So publishing 2 every week on a Tuesday and a Thursday has been pretty effective. We publish it 5 a.m., but of course, it's published on different times across the coast. But 5 a.m., we're finding that that's a good time to be able to get it out there. And cool. Been doing that on the podcast for about 10 months.
So 2 a week, and for the last year or so, 2 every single week. And part of it was because for over a year, you were recording episodes for like a year and a half or so. You're like diligently recording episodes. Out of curiosity, for our listener who's a podcaster or an almost soon to be podcaster, do you suggest them to record for a year or more of getting content before they launch? Or was that just your path?
Well, for me, I don't think I was intending to do a podcast when I started doing the interview. So for me, it was the platform was Facebook Live. You're asking about why do you do it on this platform or that platform? So it wasn't until I was doing the interview for maybe a year and a half before we decided to take it and put it into the podcast as well. I would suggest for somebody, honestly, I don't know if I was to launch it today, I don't think that I would even be worried about doing a lot of content before I started going live. I mean, it is sort of like, I know that I could take off 3 months and I always have enough shows for 2 a week. So that's nice. And so having that sort of that library of a backlog of content is really good. So I think what podcaster does not want to do is to start the show and then not have episodes to run.
Yeah.
So whether if it's a year and a half of a backlog like what I have, I don't know if you certainly need that much, but I would suggest to maybe have a couple months that in that way you're not having to stress about keeping up with it every week.
I couldn't agree more. So you said you're doing 2 a week. If I'm a listener and I want to start a podcast and I'm thinking about maybe going bi-monthly, like every other week, what would you say to me if I was like, I want to have a podcast and I'm thinking about going every other week?
I guess it depends on what your potential audience is. I mean, there's a lot more to it that I'd have to understand. Do you already have influence? Do you already have an audience? If you already have some sort of influence, I think every other week would work. If you're intending to gain an audience and nobody knows you at all, you may have to have a little bit more frequency than that. And it's about the consistency. So if you gave me a choice between, we're going to try to do this as many times as often, but we're not going to necessarily do it with a plan versus every other week, I'm going to say do every other week 100% of the time, because if you can commit to something consistently and then deliver on it, that's better than committing to something weekly and not being able to deliver on it. So it's the consistency, I think, which is most important. But again, if you don't have a large audience, you probably want to aim for more rather than less.
So I want to jump into what I mentioned to the listener, what we were going to be talking about, which is really focused on if we are having a hard time seeing ourselves as somebody who can ask good questions, keep the conversation going, or for example, if something's holding us back from putting out really good content, especially for interviews, what are some things that we as a new podcaster need to overcome. And if you have like a story, Dan, I don't know if you do, but if you have like an example of when you sucked at it, like you did something and it can help us so that we don't do the exact same thing, that'd be a great way to go.
So if you're afraid to do a show, if you're afraid to do a podcast, or you're afraid to get out in front of people, it is probably because you fear being judged. You probably are in a position where you say, well, I'm going to look stupid, or I'm going to stumble or bruise or whatever the case may be. And I want to address that. But before I address that, I want to address something else, which is if you do stumble, if you do ums and buts and whatever, it's okay, because unless if this is like your professional gig and you're that DJ voice and you're making 100% of your money from doing radio or podcast or whatever the case may be, being authentic is really what attracts people. And so then going back into like, how do you overcome that fear? Well, for me, it's about understanding first that we're just human beings. We're spiritual beings in a human existence, in this physical manifestation. And so when you understand that, then you could just accept that you don't have to worry about being judged. You don't have to worry about what others are going to think of you. And the reality of it is that they're too busy to actually judge you and have that make an impact to you one way or another. So if you just have a conversation with somebody like Adam, and if you just are curious about understanding whatever it is that the topic that you're doing, of understanding deeply, why does Adam do podcasts? Tell me more about that. What does that mean to you? And if you just have a conversation like that, where you're really driving deep to really truly understand, what is it that if you're the host, that you're working with a guest, what is it that deeply drives them? You'll come up with a conversation that others will be very, very interested to listen to.
Kind of want to tie this into what you do for your business with CPI and when you're coaching and helping entrepreneurs and real estate agents kind of take what they're already doing, which is working, and take it to another level. Is there any tie-ins from what you'll typically maybe teach like a real estate agent, for example, to what you might say to a podcaster who's trying to be a better interviewer?
It starts with this. For you to be the very best real estate agent, for you to be the very best podcaster, there's something that's foundational that happens first, which is to be the very best version of you possible. So whatever your endeavor is, when you intend to flourish, when you intend to be the very best, when you intend to learn, when you're improving yourself, and you start that as a foundation, then you can look at the tactics. Then you can look at the strategies. Then you can look at, okay, what do I do to be able to be omnipresent in regards to real estate sales in Washington, D.C. area for me, to have millions and millions of listeners on your podcast? Now, I don't know who I need to be to have that happen, because I haven't done that yet. Yet, I'm not so worried about it because I'm having fun. I'm not so worried about it because I realize that the audience that I need doesn't have to be billions. The audience that I need just have to be a couple thousand. It doesn't have to be this, and that's still a large audience in of itself. Yet, if it's 1,000 of the right people that are tuning in on a regular basis, whether that be your podcast or whatever your other endeavors are to be able to get your voice out into the marketplace, and when those people become your fans, that is more than sufficient to be able to make an impact in the world, as long as you intend to make that impact through them. So you intend to change their lives so that then they change other people's lives.
I really like part of what you said was that if we want to be better at anything, you said being an agent, being a podcaster, being an entrepreneur, whatever it is, that we start by becoming a better human being, better ourselves. And I 100% agree with that. And I've noticed that even like in my life, when I focus on health and kindness and gratitude and just kind of being more generous and giving and trying to be spiritual, I'm not really a religious person, but I try to be in tune. And when I do those things, it's like everything kind of comes together. Like my relationship with my sweetheart grows. My relationship with my kids just flourishes. Like we enjoy each other. We go out and we have fun with each other. And additionally, the podcast and everything else falls into place. And so I really, truly do believe that. And I think like if you're getting exercise and sleep and you're reading and your morning routine and these types of things, you're going to be an awesome podcaster as well, because you're going to be sharp, witty, on top of it, ready to go at all points in the road. So I really appreciate you talking a little bit about that. You mentioned something to me right before, and I know this is on your website as well, so we'll mention the website in case anybody wants to hear more. You mentioned to me something that kind of struck me before we started recording. You said 87% of millionaires stop at five figures. I want to go into that a little bit with you.
So we were talking about the death of potential. And the death of potential is why those millionaires, and you can't see me right now as a listener, I'm putting air quotes, quit at six figures. And what I mean by that is that we all have within ourselves the ability to be a millionaire. Every human being in this planet has the opportunity to create whatever it is that they intend to create. Now, that doesn't mean that we all start at the same spot. We don't all have the same circumstances. We don't all have the same backgrounds. Yet, there's a concept that I teach, which is if yes, then how. And so if yes, then how, what that means is if there's an individual that has already achieved whatever you want to achieve. Now, that could be a millionaire. That could be the best dad in the world. That could be a billionaire. That could be somebody that you build a skyscraper. I don't care what it is. If somebody that looks like you in the mirror, that comes from the same background from you, the same country, the same whatever, and they achieve whatever it is that you intend to achieve, then you've already proven that it can be done. So now the next step is how. And the answer to that is look at whatever that person did, and that's what you would emulate. Study what they did, and you take and you deconstruct it as best that you could possibly do, and then you put it back together in your own life. And when times get hard, because they will, the key ingredient, the key glue that keeps all that together. So remember, it's if yes, then how. So now if someone's done it before us, it's proven it can be done. Now how? Now how do you do it? Well, whatever they did, do that. Now when it gets tough, now what do you do? Well, before you do any of that, you have to figure out why. So why do you want to be a millionaire? Why do you want to be the world's best podcaster? Why do you want to build a skyscraper or be the world's best real estate agent? And whatever the case may be, it doesn't have to be the world's best, right? It could just be an average podcaster. I don't care what it is that you want to do. That's not for me to choose. Whatever it is, and if you get clear on why you want to do that, now that's the glue for your how. So when things get tough, when you're implementing the how and you look back at the why, then you'll be able to continue doing whatever the activities require to be able to reach your potential.
And when you talk about 87% of millionaires, basically saying 13% of people achieve the millionaire status, but 100% of them have the ability to. So that 87% of them who they quit early, you could almost say that about some podcasters in just in this way, because there's a lot of pod fade, they call it. And it's like, I don't know if the number is 87%, but it might be 90 and it might be 80, but it's somewhere in this range of podcasters that stop at like six episodes. So when you say some people stop at five figures or six figures and never hit that seven figures, even though they have the ability to, all of us have the ability to be a famous, well-known, or at least to really reach into the hearts of our people and support them and get them to the next level. And so it's like with this 87%, 87% of us are quitting early. So what are we going to do to make sure that we go through and have a good podcast? And there's a lot of things like good mic, good techniques, other things like that. But as far as holding a conversation, you mentioned that A, you need to let go is how I took it. You need to let go because all of us are going to make mistakes, say, get lost in what we're saying or whatever it is. We need to let go and think about our listener and what we're doing for them and stop thinking about us. What else can we do though, Dan, to become an interviewer that extracts good content from our guest?
The model of communication, which I teach as the following, is to be in rapport, ask adept questions, and then actively listen. If you're listening right now, I encourage for you to write that down. I'm going to expand on that a little bit more. So it's be in rapport, ask adept questions, actively listen. So what is rapport? So rapport is a connectivity. If you can imagine, if you could think of as though of two people dancing and they've never met each other before, but they're skilled in dancing and they go out on the dance floor and they just flow with each other. Well, that's an example of rapport, where one person puts their right shoulder in and the other person takes her left shoulder out and they just flow with each other. And so that's an example of rapport. And then asking adept questions would be driving deep in the question, such as, tell me more about that. What's important to you about that? Why is that important to you? And really coming from a place of curiosity. And then actively listening comes from the place of being 100% present to the other person that you're speaking with. Now, if you're a podcaster and you don't see the other person that you're speaking with, then it's being 100% present to the universe, to the world, your environment, and just be at peace. Now, I'm not doing it right now, but a lot of times when I'm doing interviews and things like that, I'll have some spa music playing in my headphones, and the other person that I'm speaking with has no idea that that's going on. Okay, and I forgot to actually turn that on, but most of the time, 99% of the time, I've got spa music in my headphones. And the way it's set up is Adam couldn't hear that. He would never know that if that was working right now. But it puts me in a place where I can reconnect, I can get to that inner peace within myself, so that then I can actively listen. I can connect with the other person on the other side.
Yeah, good stuff. So the first one is building the rapport. The second one you said is asking more adept questions. The third one is to be in the moment.
That's sort of funny. You'll see the irony here in a second.
Yeah, there you go.
Actively listen.
Active. Perfect. I'm writing it down now.
Yeah. And so actively listen again is to really like, pay attention so that you're not even, when you're communicating, you're not just paying attention to the words that the other person's saying. You're looking at their energy. So like you and I are on Zoom right now. So like I can connect with you through your energy. You're in Colorado, I'm in Virginia. And we could be connected together in a sense that through our rapport that we can, you know, bounce off of each other.
Yeah.
And I can actively listen in to you by paying attention to your energy, not just the words that you're saying to me.
Got it. So what are some tricks for building more rapport with other people?
In the moment, it could be to repeat and affirm, use their language. We all have a language. So if you speak English like I do, and you go into another country, and I don't speak Spanish. So let's say I go in and I start speaking Spanish, and I'm talking to a Spanish speaker and I make zero effort to learn her language. I make zero effort to be able to understand and communicate in his dialect. there won't be a connection there. There will not be a rapport there. Yet, when I take the intention, when I take the effort to be able to learn their language, then I'll become closer to being a rapport with somebody. All right. Because the more that we're alike, then the more likely that we can be in rapport. And so, not just when you're looking at different languages within our own languages, there are certain words that people speak. And when you repeat those words back to the other individual, you start to get into connection with them. And so to display actively listening, for example, so remember, be in rapport, ask adept questions, actively listen. To be able to display that you're actively listening, you would repeat back the last couple words of the statement of the person before you. And you would nod your head and affirm and make sure that you understood what they said. And that's a methodology that you can get into rapport instantly. We play a game on my sales team called a rapport game. And we go around, there's typically around 8 of us, we're on a video, and somebody will say, hello. And the other person will say, hello. And then the next person says, hello. And the next person says, hello. And so it's about connecting in the tonality, connecting in the verbs, in the exact way that they're speaking. If they're speaking from the nasal, you speak from the nasal. If they're speaking from the chest, you speak from the chest. If they're speaking hollow, then you speak hollow. And that you connect with them in the manner that they're talking. And then you bring them over to your natural state.
That's really interesting. So how do we ask better, like more adept questions though? Like, where does that come from? Because that's a concern, I think, for a lot of people. It's like, what do I ask next? And how do I know if it's the right question? So what are your thoughts, Dan?
Well, it all ties together. When you're actively listening, you'll know what the next question is going to be. Because you'll know what will help to get some information from that other person. So it goes back into rapport. So typically, the best thing that happened in our conversation today was the fact that we had about a 15-minute hiccup before we started to record. And while we had that hiccup, you and I had a chance to sort of get to know each other in a place of, I mean, not that either of us was like really freaking out about it or anything, right? But it's like, it's not ideal. Could be a stressor for some people. I don't think it was stressor for you or myself, but it could be. And it gives us a chance to be able to connect with each other before we even start talking. And so that is a methodology that if you have some time to spend with your guests before you start interviewing, that they'll start letting their guard down. Because one thing that I've noticed when I'm interviewing, it took me a few episodes to really understand this. I'd be having a conversation with somebody in the interview and it sounded one way. And then we would click off and then the conversation shift almost like it shifted to a real conversation. And so when I recognized that, I think I was about 6 episodes in, I said, how do I get that second part during the show? Because that is what I want to bring out on the show. And so what I learned was that it takes a little bit of a conversation, a little bit of a dialogue before you actually jump into it. So that, again, that goes back to the rapport, so that you can be more connected. And now you know how to ask adept questions, because it's just about being interested in the other person and having an authentic conversation. And that's how it all ties together.
Good stuff. One thing that you also mentioned is being able to, the one thing that stops us, the one thing that really holds us back from being able to have really any potential at all, but certainly within asking better questions, building rapport, actively listening, hint, hint to Adam Adams, those types of things is believing in ourselves. So how can we be better at, like, I guess, believing that we are worth it?
Yeah. I went through a long time in my life where I subconsciously thought that I was not worthy. And it wasn't until consciously I recognized that that was holding me back until I got to a place of understanding that the only person's opinion in this world that really, truly, truly matter outside of my wife, my daughter, but that really truly matter on my own, of my opinion of who I am. And when I understood that I'm worthy, I got to the place in my life that I was able to not really worry about what other people are thinking of me. You see, I believe that hopefully when you're listening to this right now, I hope that you're getting some great value from it. I hope you'll remember my name, Dan Roshan. I hope someday we'll actually meet. Yet maybe we won't. Or maybe you won't remember my name. But does it really matter? Because at the end of the day, you're going to die. I'm going to die. And maybe somebody will remember me for a few years. I hope so. My goodness. And then this life just continues. So I don't even know if it's about believing in yourself as it is just having an understanding of this journey that we're all on. And when you really get to an understanding of this journey that we're having, and it's a short time, then I think that you'll understand that you don't really have to worry about what other people think about you. And even if you don't believe in yourself, well, that's okay too. I don't even know if you need to believe in yourself. You just need to not disbelieve in yourself. Was that a double negative there? I don't think my grammar teacher will approve of that, but I don't care. So it's just about not like holding yourself back and just take action. That's what it's all about. Just take action. Who cares?
I want that to sink in. That's good stuff. Thank you, Dan. You're welcome. What other advice do you think you have for a brand new podcaster in the next one-ish minutes? And we're going to jump off. But what other advice that we might not have mentioned today do you want to pour into a new podcaster?
How to overcome the fear. Believe in yourself like what Adam says, or at the very least, don't disbelieve in yourself like Dan says. And put yourself in a position to understand that others are not judging you. It doesn't matter. Take action. Figure out what you want to do. Figure out who has done this before you, and if yes, then how, and understand why you want to do what you're doing. It could be just to have fun. It could be to make an impact in your industry, to make an impact in the world. It doesn't have to be significant, and it could be small. It could be large. It could be whatever it is that's important to you. Take action. You can do it.
Dan, I've got your website in the show notes right now and a link to your podcast so the listener can go and find you on your podcast. Is there another way that you'd like them to find you or get a hold of you?
Look me up on Facebook, Dan Roshan. That's the easiest way to connect with me. There's not a lot of Dan Roshans out there. There's a couple, but you'll probably easily find me in whatever website that you have up there. The best one is www.danroshan.com. That's the easiest way to find some of the resources. I've got The Death of Potential, Why 87% of Millionaires Quit at Six Figures. I've got a copy of that on there if you're interested.
Perfect. Dan, thank you for jumping on and helping me be a better active listener and helping our listeners have more confidence to just say, hey, I love how you said it. Like, I was trying to say, don't worry about it. And you were like, don't not believe, don't disbelieve. It's like an aha moment, even just thinking about that. It sounds bad because it's not grammatically correct, but it really emphasizes the point a little bit more to allow us to say, don't hold yourself back intentionally by not letting yourself believe. Just let that go. And I think that's something that'll resonate with me for a while. Dan Roshan from CPI Coaching. The podcast is CPI, Consistent Predictable Income. Go and check him out. The links are in the show notes. And bye for now. This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.